He's got my word in the palm of his hand. No need to fear. He's in command. Dark clouds may come and go. Oh, but this one thing I know.
Oh.
the palm of his hand.
Peace out in my heart that never dies. Oh, and there is nothing that's too hard for God. Jesus.
Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, thank you, Lord. Oh,
look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done.
He healed my body. He touched my mind. Well, he saved me.
Each day is just the same. I'm gonna raise him.
Isn't the Lord good? Aren't you glad to be here tonight? Feel that wonderful spirit? And I appreciate so much the Bible study that we had this morning. And then Brother Smith continuing that in the service this morning. I love the Word of God. I love the way that He's establishing us. And I was thankful that God allowed my family and I to go to Houston, Texas. It was a wonderful, wonderful service. First person really got up, and that one morning, I think it was Friday morning, was Brother Gary Wright, and Brother Smith talked some about it. He really blessed me going along that line on maturing in God and self. And then I was so thankful that God let me be a part of Saturday evening service. There was just such a wonderful feeling there. You couldn't help. It was like a cloud, like Brother Smith was saying. You could feel it come in, and even if you wanted to, which none of us did, but if you wanted to have resisted, I don't know if you could have resisted that cloud. It was just such a deep, wonderful feeling. And so I was thankful that God allowed us to go. And in the last 2 years, I guess since my surgery, which was August of 2013, August and September of 2013, I've only, this will make, I think, the second meeting I've been to. So I haven't seen too many of my friends there. And this one brother came up to me. And this wasn't part of the meeting, but he came up after service while we were eating, and he just wanted to know how I was doing. I hadn't seen him for a while, but I'd known him for years. A good friend of ours, and I think everybody in church would probably know him. And so he asked me how I was doing, and I gave him some of my testimony. And I told him how the Lord spoke to me when I was in the hospital and told me, he said, "Don't worry, son, I got your back." He got a real funny look on his face. And I'd just like to take a few minutes to give a little bit of his testimony. I wish you could hear it yourself because it so encouraged me. He said in February of 2013, he runs his own business. And he was out in his shop. He was working. And he said the Lord spoke to him. And he said it was so obvious he stopped. He doesn't know if the Lord spoke audibly through your ear or if the Lord spoke in his mind. To this day, I still don't know. When the Lord spoke to me in the hospital, I don't know if you would have been in the room, if you could have heard it, or if it was in my mind. I don't know if it matters or not. I know it was just, it was the Lord. I know that. He said he was working in his shop, and the Lord spoke to him and said, "I'm going to take care of you." And he stopped. And he thought about it, and he said, because his mind hadn't been on the Lord at all. And he said, "Okay, Lord, well, I know you're going to take care of me, you know, but there's really nothing wrong with me right now, but I appreciate you telling me that you're going to take care of me." You know, one thing I've learned through these years of serving God, through the up times and through the down times, is that God loves His children. More than anything, God loves His children, and God will do whatever He can to keep, like Brother Smith was saying this morning, you know, God will keep us on the right track if we will just keep following after Him. So the Lord told this brother, he said, I'm going to take care of you. He said, "Okay, God." And 2 months later in April, that was in February of 2013, in April, he was out, he's got a little, I call it a yipping dog. Him and his son were walking the little yipping dog on a leash down their neighborhood. And all of a sudden, this big Labrador retriever got loose and wanted to play with the little yipping dog. Well, it got wound underneath his brother's leg. And when it did, it pulled him off balance and he fell on his left arm. And when he did, he said, "Oh, it hurt so bad." He said, "I about passed out." So he got up and he couldn't move his arm. So he went to the emergency room, and the doctor said, "Oh, this is bad, you know." Yeah, he said, "Brother Durham," he said, "when you go in there," he said, it's terrible, the thing. I said, I know. He said, it's terrible what they do. They said they wanted to straighten it out, so the x-ray technician started to twist it. And he said, I screamed. He said, I couldn't help it. He said, I'll do it. So he twisted it a certain way. And the x-ray technician said, I better get the doctor in here. And they came in, and it was broken several places. Well, he had to go in and have surgery. He had a couple titanium plates put in his arm, two places in his arm and on the elbow. It broke the elbow and down here and above his elbow. So he had all these plates put in. He said it was very painful. And then a week after the surgery, he had to start his therapy. He said that was painful too. He said, I still can't use my left arm fully. And he said, and then those titanium plates started coming loose. And so about 6 months later, he had to have those taken out. So that was two surgeries that he had in 2013. One to put all the titanium plates in his arm. And of course, when that happened in April with that little yipping dog, he thought back to the Lord and he said, okay, Lord, you said you're going to take care of me. So I know we're going to get through it. So then about a month after that, he started having terrible pain in the kidney area. And so he went into a urologist, and the urologist said, you've got kidney stones, so we're going to have to get them out. So they also had to put a splint in. So they went in, they put a splint in, and they got these kidney stones. They broke them up and got them out. And then a month later, they had to get that splint out. So that was four surgeries. But he said, the first time that I went, and the whole time he's thinking, God, even before all this started happening, you said you're going to take care of me. And this is all in 1 year. But the first time when he went to the urologist to get those kidney stones out and to get the splint in, the urologist called him back up and said, I want to do some tests on you because there's something wrong with you. He said, okay. So he went back. And he had some more tests, and he took them aside, and he said, I don't want to scare you, he said, but you got prostate cancer. And he said, I think you've got prostate cancer. So they did a biopsy of his prostate, and it came back that it was cancerous. So they said, we're going to go ahead, and we're going to remove the prostate. That's the only way to get the cancer out before it spreads to other parts of your body. There is a measurement, and he explained to me this measurement. That is a measure of how close or how far cancer has spread in your body. And his was real close to spreading to other parts of his body. So the doctor said, if we don't remove the prostate and we let it go any further, it's going to spread to other parts of your body. So they went in and they removed his prostate. That was five surgeries that he had in 2013. And he said, Brother Durham, he said, I'll tell you what, if the Lord hadn't have spoke to me in February and told me, I'm going to take care of you, aren't you thankful for a loving God, that he's mindful? You know, sometimes we think of God as just being way out there with a big plan, and we're trying to fit into his plan. But God loves us. And I thank God knew what that brother was going to go through. I don't care how you look at it. God made him go through it, or time and chance happens to all men. I think sometimes things happen to us just because we're born of the human race, you know. But he said, if God hadn't have come to me 2 months before all this started, he said, I couldn't have made it. He said that was, especially when the doctor told me that I had cancer, and they had to remove my prostate. He said, that was dark. He said, that what God said to me was an anchor. It was a nail in a sure place. And he said, since 2013, he said, I've had some problems. I've had some difficulties. And he said, my life has changed. He said, but I always go back and remember that God told me, I'm going to take care of you. And to me, that was I thought all of the Houston meeting was a highlight. But to hear this man's testimony for me, I'm still going through a few things. I still struggle with some things. I still have something in my head that, you know, that I'm trusting God for, like everyone else here. But to know that God is going to take care of us. I wish you could have been there to hear this man's testimony. It was kind of private, and I'm hoping one day maybe he'll come here and give it himself along with others of it. But it really encouraged me, and I felt good after that. I know there's some of us here that are going through some things, but when you hear testimonies like that, be encouraged to know God cares for you. You know, He's on our side. He cares for us. He loves for His children. So I just thought it was a great and wonderful meeting, and I'm glad to be back home, aren't y'all? So thank you for listening to me, and glad to be here tonight. God bless y'all.
Timing's everything. Praise God. I'm happy to be here tonight. It's hard to be in two places at once. But we wanted to try to get these DVDs out for you guys. It was a wonderful meeting. We were blessed to be there for the whole meeting, which was nice. It's sometimes our schedule doesn't allow it, and it's hard for Gladys to go to East Texas and not visit her family. And so we pressed on, and I'm sure we'll be making a trip down there soon. But you know, like anything else, had work to do. I got down there and I was still working, which is life, I suppose. Yesterday, I needed to talk to my neighbor, and I've been trying to track him down, because I've got a vehicle I want him to sell for me, and so I heard his motor going. And I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a four-wheeler. And so I set out across his cow pasture on one of our little motorcycles. And he was way up in his cow pasture splitting wood. And he didn't stop. I sat there and talked to him for 20 minutes, and he didn't stop working one bit. He was sitting on the ground kneeling, you know, somebody... One of his son-in-laws or something was handing him, they were using a hydraulic splitter, which is cheating, in my opinion, but I like it. I told him I wanted one. I've swung many a splitting ball. While I was talking to him for 20 minutes, he didn't even stop working, Brother Durham. He was kneeling there on the ground, they was feeding him wood, and he was talking and over the motor. And, you know, that's how some people are. They just, you get... You know, what's the old saying? If you want something done, find the busiest person and ask them to do it, and they'll either get it done or find somebody to get it done. And So it's tough. It's a busy life that we live, and like I said, I got down into Houston and had to make some errands, run some errands while I was down there, and so it was a little bit of a challenge to slow down. In fact, it was funny because it's funny to me, it may not be to y'all, but the Friday day service, I came in late after they'd already had a prayer line for over an hour. And my son and I, we came in late, and I was trying to handle some business. It was Friday or Saturday, I can't remember. Saturday, I guess. It was Saturday. And the band, the songs are going, and I'm texting, you know, I'm emailing and stuff, dancing to the... I'm probably the only person out here working and dancing, you know, being blessed at the same time, but probably not. There was probably others. But there was such a wonderful spirit there. I thought Brother John Kennedy opened up the meeting, and I thought about this. He could have taken an hour or two, and no one would have thought anything of it. John Kennedy is a wonderful man of God and full of the Word of God and quite, you know, more than capable of delivering a message. And there was, I think on Friday, there was over 2,000 people there. And so it was a very large crowd, and he could have, you know, taken that moment, but he didn't. He was led of the Lord and invited us to pray, invited us to be full of the Spirit, invited us to gird up our minds and prepare our hearts to receive what the Lord has. And I think maybe he might have talked 15 minutes. And just in his prayer, you could just feel the Spirit of the Lord just come right in the way he brought us to prayer. And it just seemed like, it to me, that set the tone for that whole meeting. Even Brother Adams got up that night, and he sang a song, God is So Good. He sang it a little different than the way I was used to hearing it, but there was such a depth. It was like he just emptied that song out of his heart, and it came out with harmony. And you know, it was just like he was, you know, just expressing the very sincere thoughts of his heart when he was singing that song. And in doing so, though, it for me anyway, it just seemed to help relax. You know, everybody's anxious coming into a meeting. You see a lot of faces, new faces, old faces, and you wonder what are we going to see in this meeting, and the Lord just really began to bless as he sang that song. I don't think he said very many words. Brother, that same night, Brother Jones got up and talked, and then another Brother Jones got up and spoke. And I think Brother Sharber got up that same night. That same night. And one thing that struck me when Brother Sharber got up, they brought almost 70 people from Birmingham, 67 people from Birmingham. And he made a statement. And to me, his statement meant more to me than just the simple words. He made the statement. He said, "We've come too far to turn back." He said, "There's 67 people here from Birmingham." He said, "It's been 14 years since these churches have come together." Talking about the brethren from the convention center and such. He said, we've been doing this, I think he said, for 14 years. And he said, we've come too far to turn back. There's no turning back. Do you know when you make up your mind that there's no turning back, you'll figure out a way to make it work. You know, I had the privilege of sitting. Brother John Kennedy was the assistant pastor in Tyler when Gladys was there. And, of course, after Brother Angelo passed, Brother Kennedy took on the pastorship there in Tyler. And I know that most of y'all probably think that Gladys and I have just always had this wonderful marriage, and we've never had any problems, and there's never been a cross word ever said. That maybe for like the first 10 minutes. Well, we had a conversation with Brother Kennedy. We had Clara and Lila at the time, but we didn't have Natanya. And Brother Kennedy gave me words. He told me, because Glass and I, we were in Splitsville. We were, you know, I've had enough of her, and she'd had enough of me, and it just wasn't working out, how it goes. And we were trying to work it out, and he told me, he said, Brother Nathan, he was asking me some questions about it, and we weren't really in Splitsville, but we were having a hard time. And he told me, he said, when you make, I'm going to ask you today. I mean, we didn't necessarily renew our vows that day, but it was pretty close. It was a nervous time for both of us. And he said, when you make a commitment, when you make this commitment today, he said, don't hold anything back. Don't hold anything back. That once you make this commitment today, that you two are going to do your best to work it out, work together, to stay together, to remain married and work through your troubles. Don't look back. Don't hold reservation like, well, if this don't work out, I can get out of this. And he really put the pressure on me. I mean, he made it so that whenever he said, you know, that there's no going back, to me, he made me commit to it, Brother Talley. He didn't let me off the hook. You know, he didn't give me an out. Well, I'm going to tell you, from my vantage point through the years, that's been wonderful advice. Wonderful advice. And Glass and I had the privilege of sitting with him for breakfast during the meeting. And I told him, I said, Brother Kennedy, I said, you don't know that, I've never told you this, but the advice you gave us that day saved our marriage. And truth is, it's saved our marriage many times. You know, once you make up your mind, you know, when you become a love slave and you put your ear to the doorpost, and that mark is there, it's there. And like Brother Smith was talking about today about, you know, it's young people and middle-aged and old people. Sometimes you get to feeling like this calling, this message can become a curse. And it's not so much a curse, it's just a weight. It's a weight upon your shoulder. And if you're not answering the call, if you're not answering the call that God's made on your life, that weight just gets heavier. And, you know, have you ever carried a heavy backpack? You know, I've seen these little kids go to school and they got books loaded, and they're walking around like this because they've got so much weight. I feel bad for them. But that's how you get to feeling. You'll get to feeling like that, you know, you just regret it. You just can't stand this burden that you're carrying. But Jesus told them, he told his disciples, he said, my yoke is easy. He said, and my burden is light. And so, we know that that's not always true. We know that there's a lot of conflict in our lives, whether it's our personality or, you know, inner conflict, or whether it's conflict on the job or conflict in our school or with our friends or conflict in our family. There's There's a lot of things in our life that lend itself to being uncomfortable or frustrated. I admired Brother Matt and Sister Reva Durham in this meeting. Here they had, in this meeting, they had a sick child. And, you know, I've been in that situation. And it adds a lot of pressure. Because you drive all that way, and now you're going to sit in a hotel room, you know, nursing a sick child. And it puts pressure on you. You just feel like, well, why bother? Why do we even, you know, how your mind starts playing tricks on you. Why do we even bother coming? We could have just stayed home. But they didn't do that. Now, they might have done that privately. I don't know, and I'm not asking. But I want you to know that in this meeting, they behaved like, you know, they were very gentle about it. They were, I admired their response. And they took turns caring for their sick child, and I appreciated that, Matt, Sharif, I really did. You're to be admired for that. This burden that we carry is always going to have conflict. There's always going to be poor people. There's always going to be sick people. There's always going to be something that needs attention. There's always going to be work to do. Just like my neighbor yesterday, I was going to walk across his field. I'm glad I didn't. It was a soppy, muddy mess. It was awful. But Nath, I think I about blew his mind when I come back because I was still covered in mud. But he didn't stop. My neighbor, he didn't stop working because there's always a job to do. And what's that old saying? You know, I'm going to die with my boots on. It's true. People do it. But anyway, in this meeting, Brother Sharber got up and he said, there's no going back. And it, to me, Brother Smith, and maybe I'm reading more into it, but it just seemed like God just kept blessing his church, his congregation, people that were around him. It just seemed like God just kept blessing them. Just kept pouring the Spirit of God on them. Just kept blessing them. Kept blessing them. And of course, he blessed all of us. I mean, it was unbelievable. I think I heard, we didn't stay for the last hour, and I heard Brother Brown's message was pretty long, too. No, actually, it was one word. Wow. Now, here's Brother Billy Brown. He's in his 70s, I guess. Been preaching 81. He's been preaching a long time. And he wasn't at a loss for words, but sometimes, you know, words aren't necessary. At least it didn't seem like that was the case in this meeting. There wasn't a necessity for, you know, just a long dissertation on how to surrender to the Lord. Brother, the one day service where the Spirit of the Lord moved for hours, Brother Bud received the offering. If you've been in a meeting, you know that they usually receive their offering on the second full day. And he didn't, and the service was over at 3:00. He didn't stand up to his feet, and that's usually the first thing they do after the band song. He didn't stand up to his feet to receive the offering until 2:00. Because the Spirit of the Lord just moved for hours. And it got to a point where there was people being blessed and worshiping, and there was no music. But they weren't turning loose, you know. They didn't want to let go of that angel. They didn't want to let go of that blessing, and the band started up was it Looking for a City? And my Lord, it was just like the Spirit of God just filled, I mean, 2,000 people. It was just like the Spirit of God just filled that whole sanctuary. And it was a wonderful, just wonderful experience. The night service was very similar to that. There was a point in that night service where people were worshiping And I don't know. I'm going to speculate a little bit, but the band probably was tired because they'd played about all day long. And so the night service, people were worshiping and there wasn't any music. And we've had that here in our youth meetings too. Brother George Wright, or Gary Wright, he said, he encouraged everyone. He said, God is wanting you to worship right where you're standing. To worship Him right there in your seat. Prayer lines are important. He said, but we've had a prayer line today. He said, God is wanting you to reach up and touch Him right there where you are. And the Lord just came in, and of course the service closed out that way, and I think they even went till like 1 o'clock that morning. It was really a wonderful meeting. I was really thankful that we got to go, and thankful that the Lord provided us with safe travels to and from. We were all concerned about the weather getting cold and freezing, and we didn't have any trouble with that. We had a lot of rain coming home. That was kind of nerve-wracking, but other than that, we just had a good time, and really thankful to travel with Brother and Sister Durham and the Durham family, and stayed in the same hotel with Brother Paul David and Brother Wayne McGowan and Sister Holly. Stayed there also in the same hotel as all of us, and we didn't, nobody called the fire department or riot police or anything like that. Sister Holly was worried about my girls, you know, being rowdy, and they were worried about her being a little rowdy, you know. Brother Wright, his message centered on a word of me, or telling goodbye to me, and me time. He talked about people missing church because they needed me time. And he was, and I wouldn't take away, I wouldn't want to, his message was so rounded. It was so complete that even the brethren that got up behind him didn't want to try to add to it. They just wanted to accentuate some of the high points of what he said. They just wanted to you've heard that story where the guy that's selling fruit, I've got, you know, red delicious apples, bright yellow bananas, and plump juicy peaches, and then this guy selling fruit, and then there's another guy walking behind him. He says, same, you know. He doesn't have the way, he doesn't have the ability to describe to market the fruit like the guy in front of him, but he's just going behind him saying, same. And so it just seemed like, you know, a number of the brethren, they tied right into Brother Gary Wright's message, just to reemphasize what he said, and get the DVDs and you can hear it yourself. And then they ended they had a song on the last day. The name of the song, I never heard it before, was Goodbye to Me. It was a very interesting take on this whole meeting, was basically goodbye to yourself. And you know, the thing about it, and Brother Smith mentioned that today, is, and I wrestle with that, and have wrestled with it for a long time, is that fear that you're going to lose something. Now, it you know, like when my wife and I got married, And I moved her from Texas to Arkansas, 7 hours away from her mom and dad, 7 hours away from everything that she's familiar with. I like to tell the story of how it snowed like 12 inches 2 weeks after we got married and freaked her out because she'd never seen that much snow. And you know, what's that old saying? You can take the girl out of Texas, but you can't take Texas out of the girl. Isn't that right, Sister Smith? It's right. It's true. You got two witnesses here, maybe more. Got a few more down here. Yeah. And so they, you know, just in the natural course of life, there's a surrender or a giving up. When a woman marries a man, there's a surrender. There's a yielding of your name. You know, there's a merging of households there's a surrender of it goes both ways. I mean, every marriage takes work. There's no question about it. And if it's all one-sided, it won't work. There's no misunderstanding that. But, of course, now we're liberated. You know, we live in such a liberated society that, you know, a lot of women, they, you know, I worked for a brilliant an attorney, and she was absolutely the breadwinner in her household, and her husband stayed home and took care of their kids, and he was content with that. And I suppose, you know, in some circumstances, you know, if she could double the income, then and she was content. You know, if it worked, it worked. I'm not passing judgment one way or the other on matters like that. That'd be a foolish thing for me to do. But there's a surrendering of yourself when you come together to work together. Well, how did Brother Langer put that? Coming together is good. Staying together is better. And working together is progress or something along those lines. It's not just enough for us to come together here in this congregation, but it's more important for us to come together and work together and stay together. You know, a threefold cord it can't be broken. If we've determined that we're going to stay with each other, then you know, somebody have a hard time separating us. What's that old game, Red Rover, Red Rover? You know, that's what a lot of churches these days, they play that game, Red Rover, Red Rover, and they'll try to win people in and out of their of congregations. You know, it's been called sheep stealing and stuff like that. And it's going to happen. And people are going to express interest in this and that. I've heard about people trying to win people out of this church to get them over into their church. I've heard of that a lot here lately, trying to go on. And so, and I guess, you know, some of it does go on. But that, what I'm talking about today is that if you've made up your mind, somebody asked me the other day, I said, why did you move to Little Rock? Well, I only have one reason. We moved to Little Rock to work in this church. That's the only reason we're here, Brother Zach. It wasn't because of anything else. There wasn't any other reason for us to move to Little Rock. And by the help and grace of God, that's still our reason. That's why we're here. And we made up our mind then, and we're still making up our mind today that we're going to work together. We're going to stay together. Praise God. We're going to lift up the name of the Lord together. And so there's a surrendering of you know, us, of me. That's what Brother Wright said. He said, you got to surrender that me time and come into the house of God when it's church time and lift up the Lord and get your mind girded up to worship Him. So they sang that song, Goodbye to Me, and it's kind of a melancholy song. I mean, I like the message behind it, but it was, you know, I had enough of it after a while. But maybe I just wasn't ready to say goodbye to me. Maybe that was it. But, you know, it's just like, you know, in a marriage, it takes a commitment. And I've talked about that here recently, about Jesus when he sent the disciples out, sent the 70 out, and he told them not to take a purse, not to take a sword, not to worry about anything. And he told them to go out and witness and testify and preach and be received in the communities. It was a couple weeks ago I talked about that. And the essence there to me was, they were learning a lesson of trusting God to provide their needs as they work together. Now, Brother Phil Fisher and I, we've known each other for 20-something years or more. And I don't know that him and I have ever had crosswords with each other. But I can tell you this, we've had occasion to. You know, because we both, our families have been connected through the years. And so there's been moments where we could have been frustrated with each other. We both have kids that are the same age and you know, boys will be boys. And there's moments where we could, you know, get aggravated with each other. But we don't, because we've made up our mind. We're going to work together. We're in this together. We're in this together. And, you know, it really comes down to a very honest moment. It did with my wife. It came down to a very honest moment with me when I knew I had hurt her feelings. I knew that I had mistreated her. I'd said something wrong. And, you know, I could take two directions on that. I could bow up in pride and say, well, get over it. Or I can just say I'm sorry. I teach my children, so look, if you guys will learn how to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and how can I help you? I said, you'll avoid a lot of conflict with each other in our home, and then as they grow older on their job. Well, all that comes back down to faith in God's going to protect you. He told Moses, he said, you will hold your peace, and I will fight your battles. And I suppose from my vantage point, there's if I'm not careful, I view myself as a warrior. But I'll forget which cause I'm fighting for. And if I'm not careful, I'll be fighting for myself instead of fighting for the Lord. And the banner that I should be carrying instead of the banner of me, it should be the banner of love for Him. Paul told the Romans, he told them, he said that tribulation, he said, therefore being justified by faith, in Romans 5:1, he said, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The faith that they have gives them access. It gives them a path. Have you ever had a problem that you couldn't figure out? You just couldn't see your way through it. You just couldn't see, how in the world am I going to resurrect after I'm dead? And then you realize, hey, wait a minute. Jesus faced that same question. So much so, it was such a great burden on Him. As He was praying, the Bible says that He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And He had to pray that prayer 3 times to surrender His life totally without any reservation to God. And He faced that question, if I lay here, if I let these men crucify me, are you going to resurrect me from the grave? And he did. He put his faith in the Father. And of course, you know the story. They crucified him, laid him in a tomb, and he was resurrected from the dead. So when you face that question, how in the world am I, when someone dies, say one of your loved ones dies, what's going to happen to them? I faced that question when I was just a little boy, 5 years old. My brother was killed in a car accident. I faced the question of, am I ever going to see him again? What's going to happen to my brother that just got killed in a car accident? Well, there was an access or a pathway or a door. An answer was laid before me, just like Paul said here. He said, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom also we have access by faith into His grace. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of men, and that gives us access to a whole other world. That takes all these problems, all these struggles, all this heavy burden that we're carrying, all this frustration that we've got, it takes all of that and it just sets it aside and helps us and reminds us, this is just temporary. This is just for a moment. My Lord, someday there's going to be a great getting up morning. Someday we're going to be singing. We're going to join the angels' chorus. Someday those tears are going to be wiped from our eyes. Someday there'll be no more sorrow. Someday there'll be joy unspeakable. It'll be someday we won't have any more hunger or thirst. We won't have any more poor. We won't have any more sickness. Woo! Praise God. He said that not only so, but we glory. He's telling them, he said, look, you're glorying in that. You know that's true because Jesus Christ told us about it. He laid in the grave 3 days, and his Father brought him out just like he will us. He said, we glory in that. He said, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Brother Smith mentioned that today, talking about how God hath great patience, and he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. He's waiting. He has great patience. Says that we also are to have patience. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience. Experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I can honestly tell you that coming out of that meeting in Houston, and the way the Spirit of God just moved, there's just such a love in my heart. And Brother Smith, you may have felt the same way, and others may have felt the same way, but it just seemed like there was such a love in my heart for the convention, brethren, for us, for anybody who wasn't there or has been there, who's trying to get there. It just seemed like the way the Spirit of God just moved in. It's just like it moved all those barriers, all those restrictions, all those what ifs and could have been, just like it moved all that out of the way. And just all we focused on was love. The love of the Spirit. The love of God being shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That's what I'd like to see here, wouldn't you? My Lord, wouldn't you like to see that in this city? Wouldn't you like to feel that kind of love in this city to where, I heard a preacher today say, he said, everybody's had problems, everybody's had frustrations. He said, nothing goes the way everybody wants it. He said, I'm sorry. He said, things don't even go my way. I'm sorry. I can't make things better. He said, but I'm also sorry that you're letting something that happened yesterday ruin your today and your tomorrow. And I thought, well, that's right. He said, I feel sorry for you if you allow that to happen. You know, sometimes you just can't help it. Sometimes it just hurts too bad. Sometimes the frustration is just too great. But see, that's where we as Christians, we rely on each other to help carry the load. That's why we call each other brother and sister around here, because we're helping each other carry our load. But even more than that, that's why we have to learn how to rest in the Spirit of God. And so when the disciples, when Jesus sent the 70 out, and they came back and they were rejoicing how that the spirits were subject to them and so forth, Jesus, he said, rejoice not about all those things. He said, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And so he got excited. Jesus got excited when he saw the progress of his disciples working together. Now, if you want to excite the Lord, if you want to excite the Lord here in this congregation, work together. If you want to get God excited about what's going on here on 8101 Colonel Glenn Avenue, start working together. If you want the Lord to take notice of this congregation here in Little Rock, start working together. Lose your reservation. Lose your frustration with each other. I frustrated somebody the other day, and I didn't even know I did it. And I felt terrible about it. And apologized to them. Still feel bad about it. And I'll make it right. Sister McGowan, I shouldn't tell this. Sister McGowan made a cake for me the other day. But she specifically told me that she was not frustrated with me. And that's not why she made the cake. And I was relieved. And it was good. Praise God. I'm happy to be here. We had a good time. We really did. And I also wanted to thank everyone that worked in the sweetheart dinner. That was a lot of fun. We really had a good time with that. And I know that some of those, Brother Caleb and Sister Hannah aren't here, but I really appreciate Brother Phil and Sister Chelsea and Brother Brett and Sister Joanne. That was a lot of fun. Young people that served. We're in a good place. It's good to be in the house of God. That's what David said. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Praise God.
Let me see if my... Here's the words to that song. And when I saw that on this... what do you call this thing? Wrote a little handout, pamphlet, brochure. When I read it, I thought, this is kind of corny. I guess you have to be back in my day to understand that term. But anyway, but when they sang it, was you there? Any of y'all there when they sang it? It was the last day. But it fit beautifully. I mean, it was really beautiful when they sang it. Brother and Sister Marshall sang it. It says, Lord, I want to be a servant of the King. And I want my life to be inspired by all you bring. But for this, I must die. And sometimes it's hard to understand the reasons why. Isn't there some way I can save a piece of me? Isn't there some how you can take this cup from me? Lord, I hear you whispering that this is how it has to be. But my God, it's awfully hard to say goodbye to me. The chorus says, hold me close as I say goodbye to me. Let my heart know that you are all I need. I'll stay right here on my knees until I have the strength to say goodbye to me. Because I'm tired of living somewhere in between my love for you and my love for me. So take what's left of me. I sacrifice it, Lord, to thee. goodbye to me. Help me cast down every idol that I've built and lay them all where Calvary's blood was spilt. There where you sacrificed yourself for me. Now it's my turn, Lord, to die for thee. Hold me close as I say goodbye to me. Let my heart know that you're all I need. I'll stay right here on my knees until I have the strength to say goodbye to me. Because I'm tired of living somewhere in between my love for you and my love for me. So take whatever's left of me. I sacrifice it, Lord, to thee. Goodbye to me. You can kind of see why Brother Painter said he had enough of that. But it really fit with the meeting that, you know, that it was a really, it just fit. And the audio of it, I mean, when you hear it, it's a beautiful song. So when you get that last DVD, I don't know, Brother Painter, what address did you give him? The church address? So it may be here, Sister Weiniger. She downstairs. You haven't got it yet, so it's quite a undertaking. There was somewhere between 2,400 and 2,600 people in that meeting, and I know Saturday there was somewhere around 2,500, and they, you know, that's a. It's a big undertaking to fulfill all those orders, so it may take a little while, but Brother Painter is making those copies that was ordered today, but the last day won't be in it, but as soon as we get it, it is included in the price, and as soon as we get it, we'll get them to you, and I'm sure probably by next weekend we'll have them. All right.
Praise God.
I'd sing it to you if I could remember how it goes. Came in among us. Appreciate having him. Didn't see him for a while.
You can't make
Found that song, I guess, from the meeting on Facebook. Did y'all, was y'all able to get it, or the painter? He texted it to you, but anyway, if y'all want to get an early preview, well, it's somewhere on Facebook, I guess.
SoundCloud.
SoundCloud. It's on SoundCloud?
Yes.
Okay. So, anyway, it is kind of a different song, but it, our message goes along with it. It is kind of hard to say goodbye to me. Even though I know I got to go. See what I'm saying? This is kind of, it's kind of corny in a way. Oh, Lord. But it is true. I appreciated Brother Painter's message tonight. And he's right. It is, you know, even though Jesus, I thought while he was talking, even though Jesus raised people from the dead, when it comes to you raising from the dead, it's a different thought. Not, you know, I remember when I first came to the realization that, you know, I was born out there in Babylon. I was born of the Lord, but another woman took me right away and started taking care of me. And till I got here, I guess always somewhere was planted in me that I can't die. Brother Durham, you were born out there. Somehow you get it in your mind, you know, that I'm not going to die now. When I die, there's something beyond this. But when I really came to grips with understanding that I am going to die, body, soul, and spirit. You know, religion out there and Christianity teaches you're going to live on forever somewhere. They teach eternal life for everybody. But the Bible don't teach that. The Bible teaches the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is life eternal. So when I really came to grips of realizing I am going to die, body, so I'm going to cease to exist. Hey, just think about ceasing to exist for a little while. It don't sound good. You know, just I'm not going to exist anymore. Well, when I really realized that, I told the Lord. I remember I was laying in bed. I said, Lord, do you know my name? I said, my name is Mickey Smith. And here's my address. Because I said, if I kick the bucket tonight, I want you to remember me. And I want you to call my name again. Speak me back into existence. Of course, now, with my knowledge of the Word of God, I know I'm going to resurrect. I'm God's child. If I don't stand, if there's not a judgment seat that I stand before I die, I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But I still, second death, I'm still subject to second death if I don't overcome me. If I don't say goodbye to me. Again, I want to mention, I mentioned it in Bible study, that you're not, you know, you don't have to, only the only me you have to say goodbye to is the old nature of Adam. The new me, when you wake up, you can say, hello, me. You can be thankful that God raised you from the dead. But it does take faith to believe that. That's almost has to take faith. I've seen enough death that I believe in dying. I know that someday I'm going to die. I've seen enough of that I don't think I'm exempt. It just took me a while to come to grips that when I went to sleep, there wouldn't be no more of me. It ceased to exist. When I really came to grips with that and realized it was true, I thought, oh God, get me in your book of remembrance. There's a book of remembrance God has. I don't think there's a literal book with pages. I don't think it's an electronic book. I don't think it's on, you can't bring it up on the internet or Kindle or anywhere else. But the mind of God, yeah, the cloud won't have it. Not the cloud that we're, all this tech world knows about. By the way, today was the World Mobile Congress in Barcelona. For all you techie guys and girls, the new Samsung S6 was debuted, and so was the HTC M9. The Samsung S6 is not going to have a removable battery or an SD card slot. So that may kill, that may be a killer for some of you. Anyway, that's just, you know, fillers. I'm just putting in fillers right here. But anyway, the cloud that we're talking about is the glory of God. That presence of God that makes all the difference in the world. And the hope that is laid before us. This love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It is, God is love, the Bible says. And I'm sure that when this finished work is done, the love of God will continue to abound in its full manifestation. So I'm thankful for, like Brother Painter said, to be here. Where we're at, we're in a good place. We're in a wonderful place. Let's all stand and give him a praise. Yes, sister. For what? The singing, April the 26th. That's potluck dinner day. It's going to be on a Sunday night service. We thought we'd try that after potluck dinner. This one will be informal. We're going to have an informal. Of course, you probably after dinner, some of you will be formalized. But in other words, you may stay here, Brother Stewart. Okay, we'll do that before we go. And also, I believe the family night, is that the 12th? Let me get my calendar just to... It's on a Saturday night. Okay. Yes, that's right. Is that... Just a minute and I'll tell you. Well, it's at 7 p.m. family night on Saturday, April the 11th. The month of March is here. Today's the first day of it, isn't it? And we actually have the singing scheduled for the 22nd of this month, but we just decided we probably couldn't get it together that quick. Since we hadn't announced it, we bumped it up a month or back. So yes, Russellville is having a fellowship meeting on the 28th. There is a regional meeting in Cisco, Texas on the 20th and 21st. And a regional meeting in West Palm Beach, Florida, if anybody wants to go to sunny Florida and then the minister's meeting in Jacksonville, Florida is the week of the 7th of April. So some of you brethren may want to consider that meeting at Brother Dial's in Jacksonville, the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th of April. Starting April the 7th, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. All right, let's pray for Brother Daniels. He He was here this morning, but he didn't make it back this evening. And continue to pray this week, if you would continue to pray for Brother Wallace. He's just miserable, you can tell. And then keep praying for Sister Watson and Brother Wilson. Sister Wilson, they really need our prayers. Who? Brother Brett has Thursday surgery? All right. Who? Stan? All right. Sister Donna Henderson, too. Keep remembering her, Brother Stewart.
I'm sorry, I don't want to thank Brother Wallace. He's got to start the life of the church. I'm thinking about it, Bill.
All right. Does he live down off of University? Okay. So, but that would be east of University, right off of 56th? Yes. So, if anyone's in that area, some of you come by there probably coming to church, try to remember that he could. And I'll just tell you, it would just help him if you just gave him a call to let him know you're thinking about him. You're saying a prayer for him. It just helps, you know. Sorry? Yes, it's the same.
522-5148.
562. 4158. That's his iPhone. 247-9558. Or is it 562-4158? But their home number. 562-4158. Yes. So. Anyway, so. Brother Weininger's got their numbers if you need it. I've got them. Sister Linda Fisher's box of knowledge, so just ask her for anything you need to know about usins. You know, in Missouri they say weans and usins. Took me a while to get on that, Sister Tally. Weans. Ewins and weans and usins. They don't say usins, they say weans and ewins, though, don't they? Oh, you're the usins person. All right, let's give a word of prayer for Brother Daniels and these folks. Dear God, touch our brother tonight, Lord, in his suffering and pain. These that we mentioned here, oh God, we have no other to petition, Lord, for help in our time of need, Lord. Touch this assembly, our saints, oh God, touch them, your saints. They're your people, Lord, and in need of your help. Blessed Lamb of God, touch Brother Wallace, Sister Inez, Brother and Sister Wilson. Oh God, touch them, Lord. Help them, Jesus. Hallelujah. Precious Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Touch Sister Donna. Praise God, praise God. Stan Fisher, Lord, touch him. Help him, oh God, we pray. Amen, amen. All right, shake hands with one another and be friendly.